Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, musicians, singers. God bless you. That was wonderful. Presence of the Lord is here. It's my singular blessing this morning to introduce our speaker. This guy is, in my estimation of men, right up there. Now, I don't want to take away the glory from the Lord right now and put it on to him, but I'm sure the Lord can allow for this, because this man is a real man of God. I trust him implicitly. He has been currently is a quality assurance manager in an aerospace company. He worked around aircraft pretty well all his working life. He got saved in 1993. That's a pretty good deal. Pretty good deal. He married his childhood sweetheart. That's a good story. That's a great story. He's got three kids. They've all gone to Hillside Christian College. And he has been and currently still is the chairman of the board at Hillside Christian College. This is a great man of God, a great brother in Christ. And I hope you are attentive to his words this morning. I'm sure you will be. I believe they're straight from the throne of God. I believe this man listens to God and obeys. So would you please welcome our co-elder, Devin Wynn.
Thank you, Dave. That was very special. You're going to learn a little bit about me today, more than I probably wanted to share. One thing that the Lord did in me, I was someone who sort of held my emotions inside, and the Lord has softened me a lot. If you think Kerry's emotional when it comes to speaking, look out. There you go. I'm doing what I'm told.
All right. Can you still hear me? What have I done? Maybe I better put the mask back on. All right. It must have been reflecting. Thank you, James. Thanks, mate. I'm much more comfortable up there, and I was actually rostered on to do the sound desk before we sorted out the speaking arrangements. So James just said, why don't we just turn the chairs around and I could do everything from up there, which was a great idea. But you've got me up here for something different. So yeah, it's already been an amazing morning, and the worship is incredible. I just love to worship the Lord. It's just something powerful. And for me, I think this is another thing you'll learn about me, is my eyes. I'm over 50 now, so I've got to do a little bit of transitioning between different lenses. So these ones seem to work better for me now. A few years ago, I was struggling with my faith. Well, not really my faith. I was just struggling under a burden. And I realized that it was a spirit of heaviness. And there is a spirit of heaviness. And Vanessa and I prayed about that, and we identified that spirit. And within weeks, I came to a place where it was really quite oppressive. And I found the only way to lift that off was on my knees. I fought that battle on my knees in that back room with my brothers and sisters' eldership. A powerful moment. So if you're going through anything, first thing first, worship the Lord. It is amazing. There is such power in that, because it takes away everything else. We lose our inhibitions and we just focus on Him. And He's a healer. He's a restorer. And I'm up here as a testimony of Him and what He can do. So forgive me if I get a little bit emotional. But I love Jesus so much. All right. I'm going to pray. I love to pray. So Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, that You're here with us. Thank You, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. Help us to never forget that. We can always draw on your power. Lord, help me to share that today in this word. I've seen you at work this morning already, Lord. We prayed for something. Within 2 minutes, you delivered an outcome. You never fail. So strengthen me, Lord. And I'll just pray for open hearts and open ears to receive what we're going to talk about today. And anoint my lips in Jesus' mighty name. All right. So basically, I'm here. I'm submitting to the Holy Spirit. I'm submitting to the church to speak to you today. And that's one thing I did quite a few years ago. I made a decision to just submit to what Jesus wants and just hand the wheel over to him. And so far, it's worked out amazing. And I don't doubt that it will continue to be that way. So I'm going to share a little bit about myself. Alan shared last week. He did a great job, so he set a bit of a precedent. So I thought I'd spend a little bit of time for those people who don't really know me. Thank you, Dave, for sharing some of those things about me. I grew up in Queensland, moved to Perth when I was about 10 years old. I was in rural Queensland, or on the coastal Queensland, but in the bush, in the 70s. And I basically never really wore shoes until I came to Perth. So it was a big culture shock coming to the city. And I went through a lot of different things. I was bullied and other stuff that you have when you're growing up. I grew up in a great, not a Christian home, but a home that had Christian values. My parents were born in the 30s. And, you know, they had those values that were instilled and everybody lived in a Christian way. So we weren't swearing at home. Mum and Dad respected each other. They respected me. Excuse me. Look at that. I brought tissues as well. Okay. So when I was in Queensland, Mum and Dad used to actually, they dropped me at a Uniting Church for Sunday school. They never went to church, but they dropped me there. And I believe that's where seeds were sown in my life. And that prepared me later for my coming to Christ. And I just basically think, and that's why I have a heart for the school, because I believe that as the Word of God is spoken over children, that seeds are planted. And there is amazing work that's being done. There's amazing testimonies that come out of that college. And it's such a blessing to be involved in that. So I'm super passionate about what they do there. So please keep the school in your prayers. They're doing a mighty work. But there's challenges. And but we have a great group there. So I'm actually just pray right now for Stephen Lamont, the principal. So Heavenly Father, we just lift Stephen up to you. Father, just continue to anoint him, strengthen him, and encourage him, Lord. He's such a man of God, such a gift from God for the school and for the church. He's helped bring unity and wisdom. So Lord, keep using him. And just have your way in his heart. Have your way in that school, in Jesus' mighty name. That's another thing I like to do. When I think of something to pray about, I don't say, we'll pray about that. We do it. Do it right there. Okay. Dave spoke a little bit about when we were saved. Vanessa and I were saved on the same day. Amazing. It was so good. We were with some friends and we were attending a family church over in Victoria. It was just like just families getting together. And we weren't Christian, but we had friends who were. And we just went along to a Sunday. They had a Sunday service, so we thought we'd go along. But it's a longer journey than that. We were doing a Bible study, which was a Larry Burkett thing, and it was about biblical principles for money. So we'd already bought a Bible a few months earlier. You know, it was just leading us into that place, and we were uncomfortable. We were around friends. And then the Holy Spirit just spoke to us, especially to Vanessa. She was very touched by the man who spoke, and he talked about how he was transformed. But I fought a battle there with the Lord and the Holy Spirit on that day. There was a kitchen area, so I ran the other way. Vanessa was at the altar and I was out the back, hiding and sweating. And I was sick, feeling sick physically, because I was just resisting God. And you can't resist God. He is irresistible. You can fight for only so long, and then you just got to give in. So I fought for about 15, 20 minutes, and I gave up. Yay, that's right. Because he didn't give up on me. It was a great day. So I've got a simple but a solid faith. I've been through a lot. I haven't done any formal theological training or anything like that. But I have seen the Holy Spirit at work. And I've read his word. And I just trust him. He is so good. I've seen too much to ever doubt the power of God. To never go back. And I love that God gives us gifts like wisdom and words of knowledge to just help us to navigate through this crazy journey of Christianity. Because he just gives us clarity as long as we just trust in him. So that's a little bit what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about faith and belief. Less about the faith, more about the belief. But I thought, let's go and let's just break it up a bit and look at what the difference is, because I struggled with this a little bit. There were some things that confused me when I read the Word of God. And when it came to prayer and action and things like that, sometimes, you know, things didn't work out the way I thought. And I wondered when I prayed, you know, why are things happening there, but they don't happen over here? You know, I'm looking for this recipe or something. And I know God is the common denominator, but we come into it too. So I realized the confusion was that both of the words, they're interrelated, faith and belief, and they're very close in their meaning. So I first realized that there was a difference when I started comparing versions of the Bible and different translations. So what I'm going to read is this version from the NIV, which is from Matthew 17, where Jesus is healing the demon-possessed boy. So if you put that one up there, Johan, for me. Basically, I suppose I started to study because this is the area I got confused. So we went out, and back in the good old days before Bible apps and things, we went with this, and that was a parallel Bible. So I could read and get some different versions. But anyway, let's go through here. So when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and he's suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied. Pretty strong words. "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Wow, that's the power of Jesus. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" "Because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you or for you." There's also, in some translations, there's actually a verse 21 as well, which is what he spoke in Mark 9, which we'll look at later. But anyway, just in this version, it's that. Okay, so let's focus basically on Matthew 17 to 20, because you have so little faith, and then he talks about you don't need to have much faith. So he's saying we don't have faith, but then he goes on to say, you only need small enough faith to see great miracles happen. So I didn't know what to make of that. I was confused. Why would Jesus even mention that they had little faith and then explain all they needed was a small amount of faith, like a mustard seed? How much small amount of faith would you need, you know? Are there levels of faith smaller than a mustard seed that we need to improve on? I don't know about you, but that doesn't make sense to me. So when I looked at the King James Version, it translates the verse, but slightly differently. So it said, Jesus said unto them, get up the next one, Johan, for me, please, the King James Version. Should be the next slide, I think, mate. Sorry, I'm messing up the notes a little. Okay. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And I take my hat off to people who can read the King James Version, because I really struggled so much. A lot of people said, you know, you've got to read that version, that is the one. But wow, I struggle, and I had to switch. So there we have it. There's a little bit of a change there. Unbelief and faith. He's mentioning unbelief here. So this is when it became clear to me that if you want to understand God's word, you're going to need some tools. So that's, like I said, invested in a parallel Bible, invested in a lot of Bibles. It became a little bit of a crazy thing, buying Bibles. So that was probably about 20 years ago. So it was all hard copy back then. There wasn't access to things like applications and stuff like that. So getting access to different versions of the Bible is so much easier these days. There's online websites, which is where I got a lot of this material. And I've just listed a few things there. And you can see, like, that's an extract from the Bible Gateway. You can, you know, look up a verse and it'll show you, you know, that verse in every single version of the Bible. So it's just such a great tool that we have in our hands now. We don't have to spend hundreds of dollars on lots of Bibles and things like that. And then applications on the phone, I use that a lot. I use one called Olive Tree Bible app, and that's a little screenshot of it there. I like it because I can do use it like a parallel Bible, and I can have notes open and read the scripture and things like that. So there's other free Bible apps out there as well, which are great. There's free Bibles. That Holy Bible one is great, and Blue Letter Bible as well. So that was just a side note, but I thought if you were looking for something, I can definitely recommend Olive Tree. You have to pay for the Bibles, but they're about $15, which is a lot less than a paper copy. Okay, so the King James Version doesn't contradict what Jesus is telling the disciples, that they have a belief problem, but that it can be overcome with faith, even in small amounts. So let's look and work out what faith and belief really are. So belief. So the dictionary says it's something believed. Well, that makes sense. An opinion or a conviction. Confidence in the truth or existence of something not immediately susceptible to rigorous proof. So our beliefs are things that we're thoroughly convinced of. Usually, but not always, they're ideas, concepts that we gather through acquiring information or experiences that we have. Because of that, our beliefs can change over time as we gain more knowledge and experience and see more things in our lives. Our beliefs can change just day to day. So I thought I'd better share a personal example, and maybe this is a little bit more about me. Before I really knew the Lord, I did good things. I thought I was a good person. And I remember after I was saved, the Lord reminded me of something. And when Jehovah's Witnesses, when we lived in Geelong, we had some that came quite regularly. Really lovely ladies would come to the door and they would just talk about, you know, being a good person. And I'd say, I'm a good person. You know, I do good things. I'm not bad, so I'm fine. You know, that was my argument, that, you know, I don't need Christ because I'm good. You know, that's all. But it's so dumb. It's so dumb. After I accepted Jesus and I knew the truth, my belief changed. From when I was 20, I understand now. I understand because the transforming power of Jesus through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit has given me that truth, a revelation, a new belief, a new understanding. So how's faith different? So faith, and there's a little mustard seed there, is confidence or trust in a person or thing. And it's also belief that's not based on proof. So faith can actually override, you know. We don't have to have anything seen. It's just like Hebrews 11. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So faith includes our beliefs, but it's bigger than that. Faith requires action. And if it doesn't move us to do something or to say something and actually take some kind of action, then it's not really faith at all. So there's a little equation. Yeah, there's a bit, and I'm going to look at it later, but there's an equation that's like faith is belief, action, and confidence. So if any of those three are gone from that equation, if anything's zero, which I think that was meant to be on that slide, but it's actually gone. But we had a few problems with the slide this morning, so anyway, it's okay. We'll look at it later. But if you don't have belief, or you don't take action, or you don't have confidence in what you're doing, then faith is gone. There's no faith action there. So it's confirmed in James 2:17. In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. So until we take action, our faith is just talk. And talk is cheap. Very, very cheap. And that's one thing I try to live my life by. I want to be a man of my word. I want to be a man of integrity. So I don't make promises that I can't deliver on. I really try and do that. That's something one of those real strong values that I have. So let's live lives of integrity. So the last part of the whole faith equation is confidence. Confidence is really trust that's based on knowledge or past experience. Confidence is a measure of how firmly that we hold to a particular belief. So I think that when we look to God and what he's done in our lives, the more we experience the power of God and the more confident we basically become. That was for me, I suppose, part of my journey is just to understand when God does things, we've got to take those on board and remember, open our eyes, look back, see where God's been at work. And that builds confidence. It builds our trust in him. And like I shared earlier, that's why now I can confidently trust in God 100% for everything. I was just thinking back for an example of this as well. In my working life, he's always been there for me. Early on, even before I was a Christian, I think he still had his hand on me. But I can think of some more recent ones. I used to work for a company at the airport, and then through a few events, I wasn't really looking to change jobs, but I met a person who connected me to somebody else, and then this job opportunity came along, and I thought, and it felt right. So I took it. Within a week, the company I was working for previously closed. Everyone was made redundant, and it's now car park at the airport. You know, it's amazing, you know, and God, so I believe that was just God just moving me on, and I was obedient. It didn't make sense, but I was just obedient. Then the next, that job that I went into, I was only there for about 2 years, and then the global financial crisis hit. They decided they didn't want me around, which is crazy, but anyway. So I was made redundant, and that was a real shock to me. I'd only been made redundant once before, but that was, yeah, God was good in that too. But it was a real shock. But I remember, and this is what's so good about God. The next day, I was driving. It was great. I thought, okay, great opportunity. I take the kids to school, and I think I even had a chance to teach in one of the kids' classes or something. I was driving, praying in my head, and then I audibly, in my head, I heard the Lord speak to me anyway. And he said, "It's all okay." And I thought, okay, all right. So I was at peace. And I love the fact that God doesn't have to speak 10,000 words in prophecy or all that. He can speak to us, you know. And for me, it was a few words and it was just so right. And maybe he knows I'm a simple guy. So I thought, okay, I'll trust you, Lord. Within a week, or within 2 or 3 days, I was already talking to somebody about another job. And within a week, I had a new job. And I was in that for nearly 10 years. And I was so blessed in that job. There were so many wonderful things, connections with people. I had an opportunity to help a lady I worked with. And this is something I learnt. Another thing on the way, I learnt to get along with people who are very hard to get along with. I worked with a lady, Anna. She won't mind me sharing this. And she was just a single lady, and she was in her probably late 50s, but she was just very, I suppose she was broken, and she was very hard, and she was hard to work with and hard to deal with. Meanwhile, I'm fairly soft and trying to be nice and being a Christian, and she changed. She changed. There was points where I felt like I wanted to slap her or do something ungodly, but they were the times where I knew I had to press in and pray and pray. And when I did really pray for her and really did it from my heart, something shifted. Something amazing happened. We were having a little prayer group in that company for the Christians. We used to meet at lunchtime. She joined in. Over time, she started to look to me for wisdom and things. She started going to Victory Life after a recommendation from someone else in the group. She was saved. And then a few years later, she had cancer. And she was healed, miraculously healed. It's amazing. And that's just... But if I didn't pray, I don't think... You know, I would have left. I think I would have left. It was getting to the point where I couldn't stay in the same office as her. But, you know, God did something amazing. So now I know he puts us in places where we need to be. Jackie just shared that with us last week. She didn't expect to be working here. But we believe it's the Lord has done this. And I think we'll see evidence along the track. We'll look back in a few years' time and say, yes, you know, the Lord's meant you to be here. So it's so good. So we've got to trust God. Trust God. He's got it. He's got it covered. So basically, yeah, that's where my confidence comes from, my past experiences. And I hope that you can take that on board as a testimony, because this is what, you know, we're meant to do. We testify to each other. We get built up, encouraged by each other's testimonies. So I want you, if you're facing something like that, please be encouraged. Just trust God. Okay, let's put this all together. How's my time? Okay. I was very nervous that I'd either be too short or too long, but we're okay. All right. Okay, so now it's a little bit clearer how faith and belief are interrelated, and the differences are pretty subtle. But we also know the difference that it makes when Jesus said in that 17:20. So when we believe the truth with enough confidence to take action, we exercise our faith. So it doesn't take much of that faith to see huge, miraculous things happen. So if we have unbelief, and that's believing basically in lies, things that are not true, it will completely mess up the workings of our faith. Unbelief prevents us seeing the miraculous in our life. So I spent a lot of time and energy years ago trying to increase my faith, praying, pleading with God, and just getting frustrated. But then I realized it really only takes a little bit of faith. The problem we have, and the problem I had, was not a lack of faith, it was a lack of belief. So the good news is, it's not hard to change our belief and turn it into belief. We just need to become more fully persuaded of the truth instead of lies and misconceptions and things that we might be holding on to. It could be lies that you believe about yourself. You could have been told, you're no good at that. You can't do this. You better not do that. You're too shy. All those things I've struggled with, you know. I've got to be careful not to fall back because my tendency, like I said, is to be up there, hide away. And I don't like to be here. But I know this is where God wants me, so hey, let's do it. I trust him. He never lets me down. So don't believe those lies that you're no good or you're not good enough or whatever. It's not true. So another little example. We had to stop thinking, even for Vanessa and I, that we couldn't do amazing things in God. It must have been only in the first couple of years of us being Christians, going to church in Geelong or near Geelong, that we basically had a prophetic minister came into our church and he spoke a prophetic word over us. We're only in our early 20s. And it was basically to say that we would be in leadership and, you know, all these, you know, do amazing things in the world and da da da. And so you take that on, you think, okay, that was probably the first prophetic word spoken over us, I think. So it was pretty out there, and I was not that person. I was not a leader. But anyway, here we are. So there's sometimes I believed in it, sometimes I doubted it, because I doubted myself, not God. But I have confidence, and I trust God enough to step out when necessary, and recognize when the Lord's presenting opportunities. A bit like the College Board. I've been over there. It was crazy. I was looking back. I think it's 13 years or something. Dave wanted to do this little intro and I started looking at dates. So I think I've been on the College Board about 13 years and I've been the board chair for 5 years. And that was just an invitation. And I thought, well, okay, I'll do it. I didn't know. I had no skills to offer. I didn't think. But I'm still there. They haven't kicked me off, so that's good. So I must be doing okay. But I know I did actually have the skills and I am that person that needs to be there. And you have to believe that for yourself. God will put you in a place. It may be uncomfortable, but you know what? He will fill the gaps. He will fill the voids. It's like having a bowl full of rocks, big rocks. That might be all we've got to offer, but God's the water, and he fills the rest. So just know that he will. But we've got to put ourselves out there. We can't hide away up the back and go, I'm not going to preach. And I could never do this in my own strength. Definitely not. Because I struggled with that. Confidence, timidity, I still fight it. But the more we're exposed to truth... Where's my Bible? Here. This kind of truth, the more we become convinced of that, confident of that, and confident that that is about us. The best way to expose our minds to truth is to study the Bible. It's the source of all truth. The more time we spend exploring the truth, the more our minds are convinced of the truth and we become persuaded of the truth. And we've got to just listen to this, listen to God in our hearts and put aside the other stuff, the words. You know, Pastor Kerry talks about the, you know, the angel here and the devil here. You know, we've got to listen to the angel. We've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. We've got to listen to the Word of God. What is he saying to us? What's he saying to you? You've got to discern and just follow and take action, 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 action. and see what God's going to do. I'm waiting to see what he does here today. I'm excited about what he's going to do. I have really... I don't know, I'm expectant. And Kay talked about that. Expectancy. I think we need to have expectancy. This year, I'm expectant of great, mighty, amazing things. We've got to take action. We prayed out the back. This morning, there was prayer about reclaiming the land, claiming this for God, holy ground. You know, we need to claim back Australia. We need to claim back the world, the globe for the gospel. We've got to claim back for Christianity. But we can't do that hidden away, not united. I'm a big believer in unity in the body. I love unity in the body of Christ. I really want that this year for all of us. And Janice shared with me as well. She took, you know, a symbolic gesture is striking the ground. There's symbolic gestures in the Bible about different things. I believe striking the ground is stepping out and doing something, believing that God's going to do something mighty with you, with us, little old Devon. But God can do something. David, he slay the giant. It wasn't him, it was God. You can do that too. God is there. Let's just get convinced of that truth. Let's just believe it. And then we'll behave differently. We will act differently. We'll have a new attitude. We'll be confident. We'll believe. And our faith will grow as well. So, there we go. That is a little equation. Let's not... God is not a God of recipes or whatever. It's still up to God what he does. But if we have belief, if we take action and we are confident in that, our faith will grow, and I believe we'll be rewarded because God will do things. He will move. So when we do anything, we don't need a lot of faith, as long as we really believe in what we're doing and that we're confident and that we trust in the power of God. I've done things in the past, done, you know, try and do this, try and do that, acts of service, prayer, and then I believed. I believed in my heart that that was going to work. And I've done it when I didn't believe. I've done things, served, not out of my own, you know, heart. I've done it begrudgingly, you know, reluctantly, and things don't go well. So we've got to put aside unbelief and then just trust in our Creator God. He can move mountains if he chooses to. God is still the factor. Sometimes we don't see the results that we want, but that's because God just doesn't want that kind of result. But he's still there, and we just got to trust and know that he has got it all under control. I remember a few years ago at the back praying, and I just saw a vision of the Lord looking over his church like a huge war plan, you know, you see in the movies or whatever, where they're strategizing, moving things around. And I believe God is just, he is the master at that, the master of strategy. He is moving people, putting us in places, making us say something to somebody. You know, there's so much stuff going on. We just got to trust God that he knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. So let's just let him go and do what he says. So I remember back in 1993, Vanessa and I were exposed to a lot of people who were using gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that ignited my faith and built my belief quickly. And we were naive enough, we had faith like children, to believe that God was in it. And we just really soaked up that stuff, and it was just amazing. And I saw amazing things. I saw healings, deliverance, salvation. I saw lives transformed, restored, incredible things. So that cemented my faith. And over my many years, nearly 30 years as a Christ follower, I've seen too much to ever question the existence of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And it saddens me when people, you know, they relent on their faith or they just say they don't believe anymore. I just really, that's bizarre to me. But anyway, I won't be doing that. So really, yeah, like I shared, I believe and trust God 100% in all things. I believe in the healing power of the blood of Jesus. I just have seen miracles when the blood of Jesus has been declared in prayer. So don't hesitate to speak the blood of Jesus when you pray. I've seen healings, and I've prayed and seen someone healed when I've declared the blood of Jesus. It's amazing. It's amazing to be used by God. So when you have faith and when you believe, you can't help but see God at work. It's all around us. It's everywhere. Like I said this morning, you know, God did something amazing. So it's my prayer today. Basically, it's from the book of Mark. Now, Mark also did a story about the demon-possessed boy. And so I really want to just focus in on this. In Mark 9, verse 24 is the main one, but I'm going to read from 21. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus. So there would have been, yeah, a lot of sarcasm, I think, in that. "If you can." Everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." So that's my prayer, and that became my prayer. Lord, help me with my unbelief. I won't take action if I don't believe. So help us with our unbelief. Can I ask the worship team to come up, please? So let's start this year differently. I talked about it. I'm passionate. I got a sense in my spirit that this year is going to be something amazing for us as a church. I don't know what it is, but I really am expectant. There's something different in the people. There's something different in what God is doing already. So let's make this a year where we move ahead. Let's just trust what God says and forget about what man says. We've got to put aside what man is saying. People are fallible. People will let us down. People will disappoint us. But God never fails. He never disappoints. He will never let us down. So let's just move ahead with confidence in God. I tell you, He is amazing. Kay, I think I changed my mind about the song. So can we do God, I Look to You, please? Stick to my notes. That was another thing Vanessa always tells me. Stick to my notes. I'm easily distracted. Yeah, God will move mountains in our lives. He will. We just need to have the faith, the belief, the confidence, the trust. And the only way to build it is through His word, testimony, fellowship, encouragement, church. It's just great to be here together. This is what we need to do more of. I love this church. I love the people in it. I love what Hillside is doing, what we are doing as a family. We are powerful together because God is our leader. He has our head. And we all have a part to play. So take hold of that. So if you're struggling with belief, if you're struggling believing that you have a part to play, if your faith is rocked or your confidence in God's been shaken, today's a day to change things. Set it right. We're going to open the altar again and we're going to pray. If that's you, if you feel like you need help with your unbelief because of past, you know, past experiences, it could be lies that have been spoken over you that need to be shut down, cut off. You can do that, but we can do that as well here. You know, God is so good. He is so good. Don't let a piece of material over your mouth stop you from coming and taking in and soaking in the presence of God. He can do anything. He will do miracles. Just take hold of it. Believe. Look back on something that God did in your life and take hold of that and know that He can do it again. So thank you so much for the opportunity to share with you today, and I just pray that you'll be blessed, and I really hope that something I spoke has spoken to you, and I look forward to seeing you all very soon. So bless you, and let's sing and praise our God.